I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, what happened to all that talk about a post-racial society? For example, why do more African Americans believe racism is a serious problem now than thought so a year ago? This according to a new CNN poll. We'll try to find out in just a few minutes. But first, we wanted to talk more about that Supreme Court case out of New Haven, Connecticut. On Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that a group of white firefighters had been discriminated against when the city threw out a promotional exam in which no African-American test takers scored high enough to win immediate promotion. The decision is being hotly debated as another example of the court's tilt to the right, of conservative judicial activism, of whether laws governing employment discrimination are outdated, of Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor's judgment because she issued an opinion at an earlier stage of the process. Now, we're going to touch on some of these issues in our next conversation, but first, we wanted to talk more about the environment that led to this case to begin with. So for that perspective, we called longtime New Haven journalist Paul Bass. He's the editor of the New Haven Independent, and he joins us from Connecticut Public Radio. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on.
This case seems to me to be something of a Rorschach test. I don't know if it feels that way to you, but the conservative columnist and commentator George Will, writing in the Washington Post, ridiculed the city's initial decision to throw out the promotion test as a response to, quote, racial rabble-rousing. So we wanted to know, is there a history of racial tension in that fire department in around municipal employment in general?
There's a history of racial tension in the fire department, in the police department. There's also, just as importantly, ethnic tension and political tension. And they all wrap up in a liberal machine city, which is really the backdrop to this case, Michelle.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, you know, I was reading the opinions. If you notice the concurring opinions by Samuel Alito and then the dissent by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they actually went to an extensive discussion about whether racial rabble-rousing was the backdrop to this case. Whether the test results were thrown out because a white mayor depended on a black rabble-rousing minister for political support. What was interesting reading about that was I know there are big legal issues here that are crucial to civil rights in this country, and as you said, a Rorschach about race in the Obama era. But they both presented from the left and the right such naive views of the way a city really works, and New Haven in particular. And
well,
Alito was...
Now, how does it really work? You're saying so they presented this naive view, and how does it really work? So
well,
the
Alito
view is
was
like this white mayor needs all these black folks to support him, so that's why he caved. So what's your view of the way it really is?
Well, there's a little truth on both sides. The white mayor also needs the white firefighters. He ran for governor in 2006, and the white firefighters were pretty much the most active political group in town, along with the white police officers union. So what he did was he gave them both contracts our cities couldn't afford in return for having them support him for governor. So while Alito was right that political considerations figure in to these decisions and that race is often a part of those political decisions, it's not one side or the other. Ginsburg said this wasn't political at all. There's a civil service board and they make the decision. Now, if you live in New Haven, they don't drop a beer can on the street without somebody either getting paid off or some constituency getting paid back for a vote. The civil service board is appointed by the mayor and nobody's appointed to anything in New Haven unless they're going to either kiss his ring, do what he says, or give somebody a job. He needs to get a job. So on both sides, it was an incomplete picture.
Other papers, notably Washington Post columnist Courtland Malloy, the Boston Globe editorial page, talked about the fact that these departments are sort of closed universes in some way. The Globe editorial page talked about, quoting them, minority applicants have trouble moving up in the department, and when social networks and even the union representing firefighters seem stacked toward white applicants whose fathers and grandfathers served in the department. And I think it's fair to point out, my father's a firefighter, my brother is a firefighter in New York City. So I did want to ask, is that true? Are there social networks that are perceived, at least, or are perceived to kind of close out people who aren't already part of the system?
There's no question about that, but the truth is also complicated there in New Haven, too. I mean, Michelle, look at New York. 3% of an 11,000-member fire department there is black. I mean, that's ridiculous. In New Haven, we had three decades of lawsuits by black firefighters who got laws and rules changed because those promotions were blocked. On the other hand, in New Haven, they've done much better recruiting than in some of those other cities. And you don't have 40% of the firefighters in New Haven Black, but you do have 161 out of 411, and they have done outreach. On the other hand, you do have those networks, so the law was trying to wrestle with what do you do about that, and obviously one of the issues there, do you penalize a white guy who studied like heck to do well in the test and then change the rules afterwards? So that's the legal question. But also in New Haven, as African-American community is now 40% of the city, it's a majority of the vote in Democratic primaries, which are the de facto elections in New Haven, they become a constituency too. So the subtler question is, how does white power relate to them? In New Haven, unlike some other cities, it's always been about buying off the community and dealing with power brokers who won't necessarily, might divide spoils to people who will help them, but aren't necessarily representative of the community, or might be selling them out on the big issues in the community that affect them. And that was the backdrop here. And that's why you saw that coming up in the Alito brief and in the George Will column. There's this one guy in particular who's someone who has played racial politics, and he's not racially oriented. He'll go whoever gives him the money, so he'll back the white mayor in a contested election against a black opponent if he's getting paid, which he did. On the other hand, white power feels a need to deal them in. So gradually you do see larger numbers of blacks and Hispanics come onto these forces, but it is true promotions are blocked. In this case, they bent over backwards to have non-white experts check out the test in advance so that the test itself would not be racially biased. Of course, there's a question, too, about whether relying on written tests has a racial bias or a problem, or whether it, in fact, tells you who's going to be the best firefighter.
Well, there's also the same question about interviews. So very briefly, Paul, if I could, local reaction, as we've discussed, this huge national reaction, seeing this through this lens of, you know, what does it mean in the Obama era? Locally, reaction, very briefly.
Black firefighters are going to continue to fight back. They're going to use the remedies left to them under Title VII. What was interesting is that outside the political sphere, even liberals pretty much thought that on the narrow issue, the white firefighters should get those promotions. But the racial politics in the department, the fire department, the police department, the city are going to be just as intense as before, though black and Latino firefighters are splitting. That's always been another myth about urban politics and racial politics. From the outs, the leaders of those communities say we're together because we have a common interest, but not a single Latino firefighter in New Haven would back the black firefighters in this case, and three of them were up for potential promotions. They even tried to hold unity press conferences in the last few days.
And one of them, in fact, joined the suit, as we see. So thanks, Paul, of which more later. Paul Bass is the editor of the New Haven Independent. He joined us from Connecticut Public Radio. Paul, keep us posted, if you would.
Thank you very much.